We are in chapter 14, and last week we looked at the 144,000, and from last week to this week, I have decided I am not going to speak on so much speculation of what so many people, it's just confusing stuff. What we know is what we know, and what we're given, and what we're not given, let's not speculate on it, let's just understand it as God just is going to move in spite of us in whatever he does and however he's going to do it. So in this particular passage, in verses 6 through 13, that's what I want to cover tonight before our business meeting, we have messages given to us by three specific angels. And at the end of it's ironic to me because I still believe very definitely that this book is done in chronological order. Now, when we seem to go back, it's because what John's been given is more detail on a specific area that he wants us to understand or that God wants us to understand. Remember, this is really talking about the end. It's talking about the end, not the beginning of the end, but the end of the beginning, okay? And so we're in this passage, we're talking about it's getting close to winding up. And some have believed we could be 5 weeks out or we could be 7 weeks out at this point because Armageddon's what's going to bring it to the head. That's when Christ comes and he defeats all the enemy armies in the Battle of Armageddon. And we're approaching that right now. So we're not very far from there. And then, of course, after that, before the millennium, we have the judgments that take place, the judgments of the sheep and the goats and the nations and all of these different things. And that's that 30 to 45 day period that we talked about, remember, at the beginning, that's not really recorded between the end of the tribulation and the beginning of the millennium. Okay? So we're approaching that very quickly. And so in verse 6, he says, "Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead." I do want to say this. Not usually we think of angels as ascending and descending, and that's all. But these three angels take after the pattern of the angel that's spoken of in chapter 8, verse 13, where they're moving horizontally across, not just descending up and down. And so this angel is flying directly overhead, but not in a descending or ascending or descending motion, okay? And so as he saw, and so as another angel, we have to understand that there had to be a predecessor for this to be another angel doing this, okay? And I believe it's a follow-up of chapter 8, verse 13 of that angel, okay? But there are three specific angels mentioned here, each one with a message, an important message. Maybe not one that we've recognized before because it is the beginning of the end, okay? So, as we see here, he says that this angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and every tribe and language and people. Okay? Many believe that that eternal gospel is the gospel message of Jesus Christ. If you look in the Greek for that, the participle is not there to make it the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you do a chronological study of the book of Matthew, you will find out that what Jesus began to teach, first of all, was the kingdom. He talked about the kingdom of God and preached the kingdom. It wasn't until in the middle of his ministry or later that he began to bring it home specifically to him being the Messiah. And I kind of wondered about what that could possibly mean. And many, and I can see this, since it's where it's at in Revelation, since we're at the point of where we are, that he's talking about the kingdom of God is the wrath of God upon the world, upon the remnant, upon what's left, okay? So the kingdom of God speaks of the wrath. And if you go through Matthew and check, you'll see very easily that he talked about that, that if they didn't repent and didn't change their ways, that the kingdom of God was going to be dealt upon them. Okay? So that I think is very important. And we need to understand as well that this angel came to proclaim something, to proclaim a message. And we're going to get the message in verse 7 of what that proclamation is. But he talks about to those who dwell on earth. And that phrase alone is used 9 times in the book of Revelation. Those who dwell on the earth. It is also translated as those who live on the earth. It is also translated to those who sit on the earth. And what that basically means is simply this. It is speaking to all of the earthly dwellers that believe this earth and their presence here is always going to be here. Okay? That there is no tomorrow, there is no coming, there's no destruction of the earth. They're believing that we're here on earth and we're going to stay here. This and the earth is going to stay here. So he's talking to everybody, including believers as well. But we're going to get to that a little bit later on in this very passage, what he's saying to them. But right now, he wants this message that he's going to proclaim to everybody on earth. Okay? Every nation, every tribe, language, and people. Okay? And regardless of how we understand it, it's not said, the world is going to understand. This message is going to be spoken, and no matter what language you speak, no matter what part of the world you're in, you're going to be able to hear this message in your language. Okay? So we can see that from verse 6, this angel has a purpose. The purpose is to proclaim a message, and this message is outlined for us in 4 parts in verse 7. The first part of the message that he says is to fear God. Fear God is the message that the earth, it's almost like the last call, the last opportunity for them and who haven't received Christ to be able to do so. It's that last call. And he says, you, in order to hear that call, you're going to have to fear. Sometimes it's called respect in some Bibles. But they're going to have a fear of God. Knowing, and what that means to me is, when you fear God, you know God is greater than you. You know that He's greater than you. You know that He's the Creator. You know that He is sovereign. And you know that He is ruler. And if we know all those things, we better have a healthy respect and a healthy fear of God too. Amen? Because He is all of those things. So the first part of that message is fear God. The second part of that message is give Him glory. God is going to receive glory. But if you fear God, to me, those who fear God love God. Do you understand? Does that make sense to you? It does. Because of my fear for God, in not an unhealthy fear, but a respectful type of a fear, I'm going to love God. And when I love God, I want to do things that honor Him. Don't you? We all should. And here, all these earth dwellers, this is the message. You're going to have to, first of all, fear God. Remember the audience that He's speaking to? They are totally, absolutely at war and rebellion against a God. The one that they said that doesn't exist, right? That very God. And so this message is spoken with authority. You will fear God and you will give Him honor. Even in some of the situations that seem so tragic to us, if we search the heart of God and we search our hearts and respond in the way that we should respond, you know what? There's not a tragic situation alive that's not going to bring glory to God. And that should be our desire. Anybody that's ever lost anyone that they really love understands that. You don't understand. The pain doesn't ever really go away. It changes. But all of us want to honor God in what we do and how we go on. And so, part 2 of this message is give God honor. Glorify Him. The third part, he says, because the hour of His judgment has come. Now, understand something here. Every time judgment is used earlier, it's the day of judgment or the year of judgment or the time of judgment, which talks about a longer period of time. This hour of judgment is specific because what it's telling us is the time is short. the time is right about 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 10 weeks, whatever the case may be, that's short for the final judgment of God to come, and it's going to come. Okay? So the time, number three of that message, the hour of judgment is going to come. And that time is coming quickly. And then the fourth thing of this message is, he says, and worship him who made heaven and earth and sea and the springs of water. This is the final stage. Worshiping him says that we're ready and willing to submit to him as sovereign God. Well, we know what the earth is like in that particular day and age, don't we? I mean, the 144,000, you've got those that are protected by God, but you've got martyrs by the thousands of Christians that are being killed for the name of Jesus Christ. And there is a mad sack race to find everyone that they can and kill them. Okay? But yet, here's the message. Fear God, give him the glory. You better, because the time is short, and fall down and worship him because he is creator of all things. That's the first message to all the earth that this angel brings. Okay? Well, when we look at verse 8, he talks about another angel. He says, and another angel, second, followed, saying, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who made all nations drink the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality. Let's understand, this is a proclamation again, speaking of that false, that city of Babylon. Now, understand that this is not a real woman, okay? But the nation, the place that is focal pointed on where the deception came from. And he's proclaiming that this place is fallen. Babylon is the present day Iraq, you know. Insane, who was the monarch there. You know, he prided himself in being a descendant of Nebuchadnezzar, you know. And they found the cities with Babylonian writings on them. So, yeah, it's alive and well, and it's not been done with yet, okay? But it's proclaiming that it's going to fall and be destroyed. But also look here, she who made all the nations drink the wine of passion. This nation seduced or dictated to all the other nations that they would drink of her wine. What does wine do? Wine brings an intoxication to be able to hallucinate and see things and believe things that aren't true. And that's what it's saying here, that this Babylon seduces and coerces and even dictates to nations to follow her dream, and come where she is. And what happens is it says that it leads, that they are led into sexual immorality, which of course we know it's not a woman. We know that it's not talking about a literal wine, and it's not talking about literal intercourse. It's talking about idolatry. And of course we know in the tribulation, the Antichrist is setting himself up as God and demanding, because of the mark, that they should all worship him. That's what that means. Wherever and whoever this leader is going to bring the nations. Go back to the beginning here. It says all the peoples, all the tribes, and all the languages are going to hear this first message, because Babylon has just coerced and brought them into this unholy kingdom. And they are going to fall. And we're going to see more of this specifically in chapter 17 and 18. We're going to deal with it in more detail. Some have believed Babylon to be the literal Babylon, futurists. Some believe the preterists believe that Babylon is Jerusalem. Some believe that Babylon is Rome. But we know that the area to which Babylon is going to rise again. But this Babylon is a real place with a real person, with a real purpose behind it. And it's going to fall into destruction. And that's why he says, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who made all nations drink the wine of the passion of sexual immorality. Now, verse 9 through 11 talks about the third angel. Okay? It says, and another angel, a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and its image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink the wine of God's wrath. Now let's stop there for a minute. If this is the beginning or the end of the beginning, this seems kind of redundant to be talking about this. I mean, because they're already going to have taken the mark. They're already going to be condemned. I think it might be a reiteration of what's going to happen to those who have. Maybe there are some still holding out. I don't know. Not likely. But regardless of that, this message is going to be followed up in 12 and 13 what it's really about. This is like a reminder to the whole world that if you've taken this mark on your forehead or on your hand, he will also drink the wine of God's wrath poured full strength into the cup of his anger. Understand this. There will be nothing held back from God's judgment and wrath concerning those that have taken the mark. Because that is a mark of commitment and loyalty to the beast. Okay? And so God's full anger is going to be poured out upon them. And he says, the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Man, that should break our hearts. That should, if nothing else, tell us we need to do everything that we can to reach people for Jesus Christ right now. We've got that opportunity because these that are beast people that have taken this mark are going to be in torment of sulfur and fire for eternity in front of the angels, holy angels, and in front of the Lamb himself. Think about that. Anybody ever smell sulfur? It is putrid. It is sickening. Well, he says, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest. This torment, this place of hell, the lake of fire, is a place that is eternal. Just as is the place we know we're going to is eternal. It amazes me that so many people want to believe that heaven's eternal, but they don't want to believe in a hell or believe that hell is eternal because God's too loving to place somebody there. All we have to do is read the book. All we have to do is look in Scripture, and the Scripture tells us if we reject, rebel, and do not believe that unbelievers will partake in that which was created for the angels that rebelled against God. It's not going to be a party like so many people think it is. It's not going to be down there rejoicing with their friends. And you know what's sad? And I've read some of these, and some of them have been kind of funny, but hell's no funny matter. It really isn't. It's not like it's depicted at all. And you're not going to see Satan with a pitchfork and horns like he's portrayed and all of that in the funny comics and in the movies and stuff. My Bible tells me that Satan is an angel of light. I would not be attracted to a guy that looked like a demon, that looked like they portray him. I'm sorry. He's got to do that which attracts people to him. That's why through his presence, he makes everything seem good and seem okay. That a little bit's not going to hurt you. But you know what? Sin will always take us a whole lot further than we ever wanted to go. Amen? It does. So you know what? We can't dabble in sin. We can't just do a little bit. I've had men, Christian men, and I've shared this with you, that have come and said it's okay to look at other women. I said, how long is it going to be before, as you continually look, that you begin to lust in your heart till looking's not good enough? You see, that's the problem when we get these real, real perverted type of people. It's always because they started out with the soft stuff usually. And pretty soon it wasn't enough. It didn't give him enough. Didn't give him enough high, because it's the same kind of high that drugs give you or anything else. And pretty soon you got to delve into other things. And Jeffrey Dahmer was one of those that admitted to that very thing. It was. You see, we can't dabble in it at all and think it's not going to affect us down the line, because it always will. And this is the result of that. Look at what he says here. He says that there is no rest day or night. These worshipers of the beast and its image, and whoever receives the mark of his of its name. I like that. It isn't even called a him or a his. It's its name. That's who is included in this. All of the dwellers that have taken the mark. We would think that that is a warning to basically get changed. Well, if you've taken the mark, you can't change. If you've taken the mark, your destination's already been chosen. Okay, you made that choice. So I think it's answered in verse 12. Look at what he says here. He says, "Here is the call for the endurance of the saints." That's why I believe this whole passage in line is more of a of an encouragement to the saints that are living. Because let me tell you, it is tough on them. They're scrambling for their lives. Thousands and thousands have been martyred in the name of Jesus Christ. And so he says, here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus Christ. Remember we read back a little bit where it says God has designated some to die by the sword. And if he has, they will die by the sword. He's also designated some to be imprisoned. They will be imprisoned, not martyred. Wherever that is, he's telling us, don't lose your faith. Keep on persevering till the end. And I think that's a good message for us today, too. I thought it was ironic. I was sharing with my dad today. I was reading my website news, and the UN chief just was kind of shaking his head and saying, "The world is falling apart around me." And guess what? They're all at an awe in what to do. Like man can do it. See, that's what we're battling here. That's those who dwell on the earth. They believe it's about man and not God. Well, guess what? God is saying it's not about man, it's about me. That's what he's saying. And there are those, he's not a believer. He's not a believer in any way, shape, or form. But he can see, maybe through this, God is going to reach this man. I don't know. But we got to start proclaiming. We got to start teaching. We got to persevere, even if we're made fun of. It is our faith in Jesus that represents who is our master. Amen. There have been movies of those who have tried to fake marks to be able to buy and sell, etc., etc. That's Hollywood, folks. Let me tell you, there's not going to be any fake marks. The line is going to be drawn. You will be on one side or the other. There is no middle of the road. There is no gray area. You is or you isn't. That's as simple as it is. And here is that proclamation. So we who is on the side of the Lord, keep our faith, persevere, continue to obey the commandments of the Lord, and trust in Him. Amen. Isn't that funny? I pray that that's one scripture that will be memorized by the persevering saints. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. I know it would be mine, because it's mine today. I have to continually say that and remind myself to trust God in everything. Man's decision to believe or not to believe comes from understanding. Not the belief, not that of the Christian. It comes in faith by believing that God is who He says He is, and that His Son came to do just what He came to do. That's where it comes. So, we can see that I personally believe that this whole thing, these three angels are proclaiming the message to the all of the earth, even though it's right at the brink of final judgment in God's wrath, and we're going to get to that in just not too long. Battle of Armageddon. We know the blood's going to be up to the belly of a horse, and Jesus Christ is going to be the one doing the battle. You know, I've heard so many Christians say, yeah, I can't wait to be there with the Lord so I can swing swords. Guess what? We ain't going to be swinging no swords. He defeats everybody himself. What makes us think he needs us to defeat his enemies? We weren't there except to observe when he hung on that cross, weren't we? That's all we did. We didn't save him. We didn't pull him down except to bury him. He fought the enemy himself. And when he comes back, he's going to fight that enemy one more time. One more big time. Then 1,000 years of peace, and then the final whistle's going to blow. Amen. It just gives me goosebumps thinking about it. We're close. We're getting there. Let's keep up the fight. Let's not give in. Let's not get discouraged. Let's not play into the hands of the enemy. That's what he loves for us to do. We're coming up on the season of Thanksgiving. You know, I'm glad we celebrate it as a holiday once a year, but you know what? We need to be thankful every day of our lives. It isn't a once a year celebration. It's an everyday celebration. We celebrate once a year as a whole Christmas. We should celebrate the birth of Christ every day. If it wasn't for his birth, we wouldn't have salvation. Easter, it's not just the day that he died and the day that he arose. It affects every day of our lives. Amen? He closes out here in verse 13. And he said, I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. Blessed are those who fight the fight, the dead. Now, some have said that that can expand to the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. Maybe so, but to me, it's more specific and it's more immediate right now to the situation going on. Right. And the time. So can you kind of get an idea here that it's going to even wage worse from this point on for the next 10 weeks? I mean, if you can imagine that. They blessed are they that die in the name of the Lord. Well, you know, I don't want to be there to do that. And I pray to God that I've got my tribulation understanding and interpretation down right, because everybody uses the same things that I use for theirs as well. So guess what? We don't really know, but I stand pretty firmly on the pre-trib rapture position. But regardless of that, you and I today, I believe, are blessed as we serve God. We're blessed if we give in this world that is falling apart. We give of ourselves to God's commands and faith in Christ. We'll be blessed. It's not going to be the same as what he's talking about here, and I understand that. This is different. This is a high stakes honor right here. But God honors all of his children who will serve him. All of his children willing to give themselves for him completely. So I want us to go with that. And the next, we'll finish out the next the next part of this chapter next week, and it's about the harvest of the earth, okay? So we'll get into that. So what I wanted to share with you is it's ironic because, or not ironic, I think it's awesome that we go from verse 5 to verse 6, and it's just bang, bang, bang. John's just getting bombarded with all kinds of different things immediately. Here we have the 144,000, and he closes with, for they are blameless. And then he says, then I saw another angel. It's coming, and it's coming quickly. And I think we need to take that at heart, that when this begins to happen, it's going to come quickly. Look at how quick 7 years is. 7 years is all that it's going to take for God to judge this earth and all of its dwellers. So we'll stop there and we'll begin with verse 14 next week.